Heather Exner-Perot, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
As you've probably seen, the Greenpeace has released a report commissioned by it and carried out by the Sustainable Development Center, a U.S.-based organization. It's called Beyond Fossil Fuels. You had a chance to look at it. Tell me what you think of it.
Well, for I've been critical of Greenpeace in the past, and I have to say for a Greenpeace report, this is one of the better or more balanced ones, I would say. But there's still some challenges for it. So there's some good and there's some bad in this report.
Now, the report outlines four key areas as kind of avenues for future sustainable development for Nunavut. One is human capital, sustainable energy, fisheries and indigenous tourism.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go through each one of them. Do you have any objections to any of the goals that they set out for sustainable development in Nunavut?
Well, no. I mean, these are all great goals, but I would say, first of all, that there's nothing new here. This isn't something that Greenpeace has discovered. It's a useful, maybe, overview of these issues, but these aren't problems or solutions that haven't been discussed before. So it's not a matter of saying, "Oh, Indigenous tourism, we should try that." It's been tried and it's tried now, and the Crystal Serenity is up there right now, as an example of that, and still a lot of environmentalists are critical even of that. So a lot of these things are definitely areas to explore, but how to and who will pay for it are some questions I would have.
Now, let's talk. You brought up the issue of Indigenous tourism. I had a question about it because anybody who's ever been to the Arctic knows that we're talking about very remote communities. So, if you're talking about, keeping down greenhouse gas emissions, just getting there, mm-hmm. You're already contributing a lot to emissions. Isn't there an inherent contradiction in saying that, we want to develop, strong indigenous tourism and fight climate change at the same time?
Well, I agree, and that's the whole discussion having with the Crystal Serenity is, you want to have alternate economies to just, resource extraction. But there's a huge footprint either, in certainly in flying to these places and doing science in these places. Maybe Crystal Serenity is probably one of the lesser kind of carbon impact tourism activities because they're sailing in. But obviously, all these things have an impact, and any way you get there is going to be burning fossil fuels. So, yeah, I agree. This is, for me, from an economic perspective, yes, this is something that could be developed. But if you're just looking at it from an environmental perspective, I agree there's some key contradictions there.
And there are people who actually already go there. There are hunters who pay tens of thousands of dollars for a chance to hunt polar bears, caribou, and other animals up in the Arctic. But that's being frowned upon by these very groups.
Yes. All sorts of the local economy have, to varying degrees. And one thing I will give Greenpeace credit on is they have come, a little bit further on kind of the whole seal issue and sustainable food security. When people are against furs, well, that's certainly the most sustainable and less carbon footprint kind of impactful, of importing clothing and wearing clothing. So there's a lot of inherent contradictions. I think the environmental community is still struggling, to find concrete and valid solutions for northern communities that fit their ideology.
Now, the other issue that I found very interesting was the use of renewable energy. And if you look at the list of renewable energy possibilities, right now it looks like pretty limited to just by the climatic conditions in the north. Solar power, you can use it only during the light months. Hydro, the same thing. It would be usable only for a very short period in the summer. Same thing goes for tidal. How serious, in your estimation, are these attempts to integrate a more balanced mix of energy solutions for these northern Arctic communities?
Yeah, well, you raise excellent points. So for one, to say, we should look at renewable energy in Nunavut. No kidding. I mean, there's probably hundreds of people looking at renewable energy for Nunavut and for northern communities. Yukon is totally off diesel. So the big problem in Nunavut is that they're very much reliant on diesel for power generation, that it's very expensive. You have to import it. Really can increase costs when, around 2008, 2009, the cost just skyrocketed. But it's a very useful source of energy. It's transportable, it's storable, and you can't really risk having power outages and heat outages in Nunavut in the winter. I mean, it's a real life and death kind of situation. So how to replace it? Yukon actually has gone totally off of diesel, to their credit. They use mostly hydro now, and Northwest Territories has a mix. So Nunavut's diesel energy kind of infrastructure is aging. It is needed to be replaced by one form or another, and I've heard that it's probably going to be replaced still in the short and medium term by more diesel, because none of the other solutions, are cost effective. They're unaffordable. And so that's another criticism I have of it, is to say, we shouldn't do resource extraction. We should go beyond fossil fuels and invest in renewable energy. Who's going to be doing the investment in renewable energy? Where are you going to get the public funds to invest in these alternate forms of energy, when the cheapest one right now is diesel?
What are some of, we've talked about some of the criticisms of this report. What are some of the areas that you think they're getting it right?
To say we need to invest in human capital, of course they're right. I mean, you can't be wrong on that. So I say, I agree. Sustainable fisheries is, maybe there's some possibility there. Not a lot of export possibility, but there are already fisheries and they're already pretty sustainable in Nunavut. There's already some indigenous tourism. There's already a lot of discussion on renewable energy and, of course, human capital. So it's not so much that I criticize those categories. I just wonder what are you adding? Where's the value added in your analysis? I don't see the report as taking us further than where we've been. And yet the thing to focus on fossil fuels, to go beyond fossil fuels in Nunavut, they aren't exporting fossil fuels right now. It's not part of the economy right now. So it's kind of a strange or misleading headline.
Do you think that, we've just seen reports, for example, today that oil exploration has significantly decreased, and, if it goes up, one of the few areas that they're still going to look into would be the Arctic, but that would require for the oil prices to go up significantly. Do you think that Nunavut and other Arctic, especially Northwest Territories, have the potential of at some point becoming fossil fuel exporters?
I really don't. There's been talk of the Mackenzie Valley. I think there's more natural gas for decades, and that hasn't gone anywhere. And natural gas prices are still in the tank. But really, with Canada, people always think of the Arctic and oil and gas, but Canada has kind of the worst territories for oil and gas exploration in the Arctic. There's way better opportunities in the Barents, in eastern Russia, and even in Alaska. And we know what's happened with Alaska, too. I mean, there's pretty much a moratorium there as well. So there is not going to be oil and gas offshore in the Arctic in Canada for the short and medium term, for sure. So this is it's not where the discussion should be in Canada. In Canada, the discussion should be on mining and what's happening in mining, and is that what do communities want? Do they want uranium mining or do they want ore mining? And in general, the governments, the territorial governments, are heavily in favor of that, because right now they're so dependent on federal transfers. It's hard to have kind of independent sources of revenue to pay for all these public goods to address the human capital issue, which is the most the most important in my view.
Now, if you take a bigger kind of philosophical approach to northern development. What do you think should be the philosophy of northern development in Canada and other Arctic jurisdictions?
Well, for me, it's one of sustainable development. Now, what does that mean? Everyone has a different opinion. I feel like in the Arctic, we focus much more on the sustainable part than on the development part because, you know, people have very kind of exotic views of what the Arctic is and how, you know, fragile and vulnerable it is. And for a lot of people, sustainable development in the Arctic means no development. And for me, you know, I'm really saying, you know, it's really, you know, it's been so sustainable. Can we have some development now? You know, people need to have jobs. People need to have self-determination and, you know, their nations. And they need to be able to fund, you know, their own decisions and enact their own policies without having to go to the federal government, you know, for support and aid all the time. They need to develop their own economies. And, you know, this discussion having, you know, in the wider climate change discussion is, you know, should developing countries be the one to bear the burden of mitigating, you know, fossil fuel, you know, use and extraction? You know, what's more important, the development up to, you know, just a basic level of human need or sustainability? And, of course, you know, they're hand in hand. But for me, we've been lacking on the development side, not the sustainability side in the Canadian Arctic.